The 2nd of September, 1666. Lord's Day. At about 3 in the morning, our maid, Jane, does come to our chamber door.
Mr. Pepys? Mr. Pepys, sir?
Oh, what does she want? Very early.
What is it, Jane?
Mr. Pepys, sir?
I'm coming.
Sam.
What?
Put your nightshirt on.
Mr. Pepys, sir!
Wait one moment, Jane.
Well, what's the matter?
There's a fire, sir, in the city.
What does she say?
She says there's a fire in the city.
There's always fires in the city.
Me and the other maids, we've been up late getting everything ready for your dinner guests tomorrow. And when I went to my room, I saw it through the window.
Come back to bed, Sam.
I will just go and look.
Oh, Sam.
And I went to the window. But it was far away. And being accustomed to such fires, I do go back to bed once more, and my wife and I to sleep. About 7, I arose once more to dress myself, and then to my closet and my diary. When my maid did come again.
One moment. Yes, come in.
Mr. Pepys, sir?
Yes?
Have you seen out the window today, sir?
At what?
The fire, sir.
It still doesn't look so much.
Yes, sir. But they say it burned 300 houses down last night.
300? Who said that?
They were telling me in the street this morning. Some of them had come from there. They were all black, sir.
Where's the fire now?
Fish Street, they said, sir.
By the bridge?
Yes, sir. Ain't you got friends living on London Bridge? Ain't Betty Mitchell there?
Yes, she is.
It'll be like a tinderbox, everything's so dry, the weather being so off.
There are always fires, Jane.
But their own, sir. My mother's not far from there.
Tell Mrs. Pepys I've gone out.
Is that where you're going, sir, the bridge? Shall I say that to Mrs. Pepys?
Yes, let Mrs. Pepys know.
Yes, Mr. Pepys, sir.
Fetch Will.
Yes, sir.
And I walked to the Tower of London. And there my servant Will and I got up upon one of the high places and did look across at the bridge. There we did see the houses at the end of the bridge, all on fire.
Looks mighty fierce, don't it, Mr. Pepys, sir?
Yes, Will. It does.
Will it spread, sir? What if it crosses all the London Bridge and all those homes on it? Where are you going, Mr. Pepys?
Down to the bridge.
You think that's wise, Mr. Pepys?
Come along.
And on our way down, we did meet the Lieutenant of the Tower.
Mr. Pepys?
Huh?
Mr. Pepys, is that you, sir? One of my officers said it began at the King's Bakery, Mr. Pepys, in Pudding Lane.
A bakery?
Yes, Mr. Pepys.
You'd think a bakery would take more care bedding down fires at night.
And now it has burned St. Magnus Church and most of Fish Street and is upon Thames Street.
That wind will whip it right up, won't it, Mr. Pepys?
Yes. Come on.
But none of it looks safe, Mr. Pepys.
Come on, Will. We must find a boatman.
Well, yes, Mr. Pepys.
You want me to go under the bridge?
Yes.
I don't want my boat set alight.
Neither do we.
The fire isn't on the bridge.
It will be in a jiffy, though, won't it? You can see it on the end there.
We can find another boatman, if you won't take us.
We'll pay you double.
Under the bridge it is.
And we go under the bridge and there see a most lamentable sight. Most of Fish Street is gone and my poor Betty Mitchell's house gone. And then all burned as far as the Old Swan. Everybody endeavouring to remove their goods and flinging them into the river or into lighters. Some poor people staying in their houses until the very fire touched them. On the waterside, there were people running into boats or clambering from one set of stairs to another. And the poor pigeons were loath to leave their houses, but hovered about the windows and balconies till some of them burned their wings and fell down. I stayed an hour and saw the fire rage every way, and nobody in my sight endeavouring to quench it.
Put me down at Whitehall.
Right you are, sir.
Will you be off now? Away from the fire.
You could make your fortune today on the water, charging double or more.
I dare say I could. But today, people are losing too much. So make too much profit off it.
You're the only one that don't.
What about you, sir? Are you making your way home?
Someone needs to tell Whitehall how bad it's got.
And that'll be you, will it?
You're addressing Mr. Samuel Pepys, clerk of the Acts to the Navy Board at Seething Lane.
Hand me the rope, Will.
Yes, Mr. Pepys, sir. High up he is. He speaks regular to the Duke and the King and all sorts.
Come on, Will.
Gives them advice and that.
Will.
And they do listen.
Will!
You tell them it's bad, Mr. Pepys. You tell the King how bad it is.
Mr. Pepys.
Your Majesty.
Mr. Pepys, sir.
Your Royal Highness.
My brother and I have been told that you come with first-hand news of a great fire.
Yes, Your Majesty.
How far has it spread?
Fishmonger's Hall and Fish Street is gone. And it's on Thames Street. And the alleys off to the side of Thames Street are alight, where much is stored in the way of pitch and oil and tar, as you know, sire. And all combustible substances. It's on London Bridge, sir, but not across it yet. And because of the long, dry summer weather and the winds, which are very great, nothing abates it. People run from their houses, Your Majesty, carrying what goods they can. St. Magnus Church has gone. St. Botolph's and St. Lawrence Poultney, and it is now nearing the city and St. Paul's itself.
Nothing stops it?
After so long a drought, everything proves itself combustible. Even the stones of churches. And nobody, Your Majesty, nobody to my sight dampens the flames, but they leave all, carrying what goods they can, and so mightily it grows. They do not stand and fight it.
Nobody?
No, sir.
What is to be done?
I believe you must command houses to be pulled down to stop its spread. Or I do fear for the whole city.
It is what we have done before.
So the flames have nothing to latch onto?
Yes, Your Majesty.
And St. Paul's, do you believe that might be at risk, Mr. Pepys?
I think all the city may well be at risk, sire.
There is wooden scaffolding upon St. Paul's now, is there not?
Yes. Yes, there is. Well, let it be done, Mr. Pepys. Please go to my Lord Mayor and instruct him with my order. Tell him to retrieve all the fire hooks and to pull down all the houses that lie before the fire in every way.
We will send soldiers.
Yes, Your Majesty. Your Royal Highness.
Thank you, Mr. Pepys.
So Will and I away by coach. And then, when the coach could go no further, by foot to St. Paul's.
I can't pay that!
Get another car, then.
And there we walked along Watling Street, as well as we could, with every creature coming away loaded with goods to save.
We ain't got that much. What we can do?
I'll give
give you 10 pence.
Now, where was getting this, driver?
Where do you want the car?
And here and there, sick people carried on beds. And some do carry the sick on their backs also.
Make way!
Come on, move along.
At last I met the Lord Mayor, Mr. Bloodworth, in Canning Street, blackened and holding a handkerchief to his neck, and crying out like a fainting woman.
I'm spent. I'm spent, Mr. Pepys. I've been up since, I don't know, very early, and I'm so dirty.
Mr. Bloodworth, I have been instructed by the King to tell you to pull down all the houses in the way of the fire.
But that is exactly what we've been attempting to do, Mr. Pepys. But the people do not obey me. It's their homes, you see. And you don't believe how bad a tongue and what violence can come from a man or woman when you ask them, however politely, if you can tear down their home. I have been abused all morning.
But, Ludders! Oi! Ludders, you coxcomb!
Sir?
You will not touch my house, Ludders. We're staying put.
See, Mr. Pepys, only abuse. And it's too late. The fire overtakes us. I need more soldiers, more men, and more fire hooks to pull the houses down with. Nothing will stop it. The pumps have dried, and the fire machines cannot get through due to the crush of people running away from it. I don't know what to do.
What's that?
Oh, it'll be one of the warehouses off Thames Street. Pitch exploding, I dare say, or something like that.
Where are you going?
Home.
Home?
I need to refresh myself. Refresh, Mr. Pepys. I have been up all night, and I'm so dirty. Covered in soot. Look at me. Look at me.
Useless, ain't he? Blood as the bungler.
Mr. Pepys? Mr. Pepys, is that you, sir?
It's Mr. Houblon, sir.
No, this way. Put it down there.
Mr. Houblon.
Not like that. Gentleman. These are my brother's goods, Mr. Pepys. His finer possessions. So much left behind in haste, I fear. Take care with the crystal.
Sorry, sir.
We've already moved them twice. Did you see how far the fire has come towards us?
Maybe a few hundred yards, Mr. Houblon.
A few hundred?
Yes.
I think we'll be moving them again, then. Coupled with my goods, eh, Mr. Pepys? Does no one stop it? Do all of us run from it?
It is mighty fierce now, sir.
The whole city will be lost unless something is done. You'll wait to Mrs. Pepys?
Yes.
Will you give your wife my very best? And let us hope Seething Lane is spared.
And your home too, Mr. Hooper.
There would seem little chance of that. Good day, sir.
Good day. Come on, Will.
Where are we going now?
It's noon. We should make our way home while we still can. We have guests for dinner, remember?
Guests? What about the fire?
Come on!
So home. And there find my wife and my guests, Mr. and Mrs. Wood.
How is the neat's tongue, Mrs. Wood?
Mm. Very fine, Mrs. Pepys. Mm.
Would you care for some carp, Mr. Wood? Or lobster? Mm. Or leg of mutton?
Yes, I will, thank you. Mm.
And how is the pottage?
Excellent, Mrs. Mm. Pepys. An excellent venison. Mm.
Would anyone like some Parmesan cheese? It is amongst the best I have ever tasted.
Thank you, Mr. Pepys.
Yes, I'll take some.
And we had an extraordinary good dinner. And as merry as at this time we could be.
Sam visited the fire that burns near the bridge today.
Did you, Mr. Pepys?
Mm.
Do you think it will spread far?
I'm not sure how far it will reach. London is so dry and the high winds fuel it.
But surely it will be halted.
Mrs. Batelier is here to see you, sir.
Ah.
Oh, I'm so sorry to come upon you like this, only I am looking for my good neighbours. Mr. Wolfe and his brother, their house is burnt down and I thought they might be with you.
They're not, Mrs. Batelier.
Yes, I can see. I am so worried for them.
Mm. Is the fire very much worse?
Oh, much, Mr. Pepys. Much, much worse. Mm-hmm. Oh, forgive me. I'm so very worried.
And Mrs. Batalier in great disarray does leave us. As soon as dined, I away and walked through the city, the streets full of nothing but people and horses and carts loaded with goods ready to run over one another. Now Canning Street has gone up, and Lombard Street and further St. Martin's Lane and beyond. The very ground is hot against the feet, the city being like a furnace. Will and I go down to St. Paul's Wharf, where I have secured a boat for navy work, the fares more than tripling on this day. And there on the water, I did meet the King and the Duke of York, and do go alongside their barge.
How far does it reach, Mr. Pepys? We cannot see from the river.
It's moving away from the river, Your Majesty.
So there is no knowing from here, Mr. Pepys?
No, sire.
Can't we pull down those houses and those?
Yes, we can, but it's moving very fast.
Can we take her in closer, Captain?
Yes, sire.
Did you find Bloodworth?
Yes.
Where is he now?
He went.
Went where?
Home. He said he was tired.
Tired? But he's the Lord Mayor.
And he felt himself dirty, sire.
Dirty? Soon there will be no London to feel dirty or clean in.
He couldn't persuade people to abandon their houses, nor could he persuade them to fight the fire.
Well, we will have to. We'll have to go into the city and fight it ourselves. We will persuade them. We could pay them, take coinage with us.
That may well be the only way.
Oh, this is impossible!
Oh, take her out, Captain. Take her out.
Yes, sire.
What was that? Did we hit something?
Furniture. It was a table, I think, Your Majesty.
A table?
And there were goods floating in the water. Some excellent things. Some tied together in ropes dragged behind vessels, and some already loose and lost. And I did see a pair of virginals, harpsichords amongst the goods, floating in the river. And the fire drops so hot that our faces are burned. When we could endure no more on the water, I did take my leave of the King and Duke and did go with Will to an alehouse on Bankside and stayed till it grew almost dark.
It's the end of the world! It's God's holy, holy judgment. Give us a kiss.
Get off me. No, get off.
Young lad like you should be kissing on the last night on earth.
Leave him be.
All right, I'm only being friendly. Tomorrow, we die. It's holy judgment. Will you kiss me?
No, a papist more like. A Roman plot is.
Revelations, ain't it? 666.
Through the window, the fire appears against the darkening sky. In corners and upon steeples, between churches and houses, as far as we could see.
Get off the table!
Everything!
And then we did see the fire as one entire arch of flame, in a bow up the hill, about a mile long. It made me weep to see it.
Should we make our way home now, Mr. Pepys?
And with a sad heart we do leave. And returning home, I find my maid Jane in tears.
I know, Jane. It is a terrible sight. It brings tears to my eyes too. It's a terrible thing to see so much on fire.
That's not why she's crying.
Why is she crying, then?
I won't let her visit her mother.
She can't go visiting now. We're going to have to start moving our goods. There'll be no time for visiting.
I told her.
And I.
Oh, but I'm worried about her.
She lives miles out.
Shut up, Will. It's not miles
out. Don't speak to him like that.
But she is is my mother.
And you live and work with us.
And I do spend much of the rest of the night moving my goods by moonshine. Some is carried into the garden, and the rest is placed in iron chests in my cellar. My bags of gold into my office, ready to carry them away with my chief papers of accounts also there. So great was our fear that my neighbour, Sir William Batten, had carts come out from the country to fetch away his goods at night. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, this being the 3rd of September, I do take my own precious goods, my money and plate, to Bethnal Green to Sir William Ryder's house, riding in my nightgown. But Lord, to see how the streets and highways are crowded with people.
Children here!
Get off of it!
Make way, let me through.
Dutch, ain't it? The Dutch has done it.
Done what?
All this.
The fire?
All the French. It's a plot, ain't it? All the Romans with their popery.
I thought it started in a bakery.
Yeah, Dutch bakery.
Were they Dutch?
Oh, it's the Presbyterians. All the Puritans. Still going on and on about the prayer book and cassocks.
I believe it was an accident.
No, this is an act of God.
An act of God is an accident, is it not?
Will you move out of the way?
There's nowhere to move, is there?
You one of them?
One of what?
You look like one. Bit of French in you, Sammy.
No, my good man, no. I serve the king.
Yeah, well, we all serve the king. Still, we've always had enemies. Good to have enemies, makes you strong. Makes me proud of our kingdom. Steady up there! Steady up! What are you doing to my horse?
Nothing.
You French!
The goods delivered, and my heart eased at having my treasure so well secured, I do struggle through the crowds back home, and on the way back do see the king and the duke in the street.
Hand me the fire hook and we'll pull together.
No, it's not for you to help, Your Majesty.
We must all help, sir. All of us.
It's our city too, sir.
Ready. One, two, three, four. Well done, everybody.
And you, sire. And you.
And I did see the king and the duke working amongst the ordinary citizens to pull down houses against the fire. And dirty they were both. And the heat so dreadful. My home, where my people do continue to pack up the rest of our goods, none of us sleeping this night. My wife in a rage, as Jane has gone against her mistress's order to visit her mother.
It's not my fault she went off.
You could have kept a closer eye.
She slipped out.
Put that in there with the salt cellar. No, there, there, Will. Oh,
I said it's not my fault.
No, there! With our pans and pots all together.
I've been up all night too.
What did you say? Oh, who's that? Look through the window, Will.
Don't you look a right mess? All grubbed up by the fire.
Shall I get it?
No, I will. You can go back to your mother's.
I was worried. I was worried about her.
Turn around, Jane, and go back.
All right, I will. She says I'm no apprentice and shouldn't have to tell you when I come and go.
Oh, did she now?
Yes, she did. A maid of my quality.
There's plenty of maids of your quality.
Are there?
Go and employ another, then.
What were you two just whispering?
Nothing.
Oh, don't put that there, Will. Well, are you paying attention? They all need to go into that box.
And so Jane gone, we finish the packing up. Then I go and lay down on a little quilt in my office, all my own things being packed up or gone. And after, my poor wife did the like, we having fed upon the remains of yesterday's dinner, having no fire nor dishes. The 4th of September, 1666. Up by break of day to get away the remainder of my things. Then to Tower Street, and there met the burning, three or four doors beyond Mr. Howe's, whose goods, poor man, trays, shovels, dishes and the like, were flung all along Tower Street.
Just throw it in so something's saved.
Right you are, Mr. Howe. What about this?
Yes, that too. All of them.
Then the fire came, as if in a funnel down the narrow street, on both sides with infinite fury. And I make my way home, and there did dig a hole in the ground.
Oh. I think that's deep enough, Mr. Pepys.
No, I don't think it's sufficient.
Don't you?
No.
Oh.
And there did put my wine and my Parmesan cheese for safety against the fire. Then back to the office, and the Duke does come.
Nothing will stop it. The fire on the bridge has stopped the water wheels from working, so the pumps have run dry.
And the clearing of houses in the fire's path?
Oh, we cannot pull them down fast enough. And the rubble created lights the path of the fire still further. The fire is so great, it jumps across. It jumped the bridge last night.
We saw it.
The men of Southwark took hammers and mallets to the burning pile and stopped it. But many, even with the offer of money, will run away, unless pressed by His Majesty and I. All we can do is pray for a change in weather.
That will come, sire.
We have blown up a ring around St. Paul's and dug a large ditch, which we do not think the fire can cross. But worse is if it should reach the tower. With our stores of gunpowder...
Yes, sire.
I must return. We're sending more soldiers into the city. Good day, Mr. Pepys.
And you, sire.
And how horridly the sky looks. All on a fire in the night. It was enough to put us out of our wits, for it looks as if the whole of heaven were on fire. I wrote to my father this night, but the post house being burned, the letter could not go. I lay down in the office again upon a quilt, being mighty weary, and sore in my feet with going till I was hardly able to stand. The 5th of September, 1666. And I am awoken at 2 a.m. by my wife.
Sam. Sam, listen. Where's that coming from?
It's probably Tower Street. It's to save the tower, Lizzie. They're blowing up houses round it so the fire has nothing to burn. Let's try and get a bit more sleep.
Is that here? Is it here now, Sam?
And the fire has come to Barking Church, which is at the bottom of our lane. So I do fetch my gold, worth about £2,350, and my wife and Will and I away.
Our home, Sam! Our home!
Come on, Lizzie! Come on!
And we all down by boat to Woolwich. But Lord, what a sad sight it was by moonlight to see the whole city on fire, that you might see it plain at Woolwich, as if you were standing by it. But when we reached the dockyard, the gates were shut.
I can't find anyone, Mr. Peeps.
There must be someone. I don't understand why the gates have been locked. Go and have another look for the gatekeeper.
Oh, yes, Mr. Peeps.
Oh. Is it because of invasion?
Invasion?
Is that why they're locked? There are rumours, Sam.
Rumours?
Yes.
Oh, I found him, Mr. Peeps. Oh.
Where have you been?
Looking out.
For what? Should be here. Here, manning the gate.
Ah, you're not heard, then.
Heard what?
They say the French and Dutch are coming. 50,000 strong.
What?
They started the fire. Was arson, Mr. Peeps. Arson. And quite deliberate and heartless, as only the Dutch and the French know. And now, they are both on their way to plunder and conquer 50,000 of them. Mm.
Where did you hear that?
My wife told me.
Ah. Does your wife know the movements of the French and Dutch fleets?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe your wife should come and work for the Navy. Huh? Open these gates now.
Yes, Mr. Peeps, sir. May I come and help?
No. You stay here manning the gates, as is your command.
Yes, of course, Mr. Peeps, sir.
Get out of my way.
Oh, sorry, yes, Mr. Peeps, sir.
We took my gold to my wife's old lodgings, where she did stay during the plague, and there I did leave her.
But I want to be with you, Sam.
No, you must stay here.
But I will worry about you, Sam.
And Will, you must stay here too.
I must?
Yes.
Oh.
What?
It's because of the gold.
Of course it's because of the gold.
We're here to guard it.
Yes, it's our gold, Lizzie.
And it's why you need two of us, so it can be watched night and day, lest one of us sleeps.
Yes.
I see.
Huh?
Well, you go then.
Huh? Yes, hop along.
You'll both be safe here.
Oh, and so will your gold.
Lizzie!
Oh.
But you'll stay here, in the room, Will.
Watching your gold?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Peeps, sir. Of course, sir.
And so home, where I expected to see my house and office on fire. But thanks be to God, they are both spared. And so I go up Barking Steeple, and there saw the saddest sight of devastation that ever I saw. Everywhere, great fires. Oil cellars and brimstone, amongst other things, burning. Fenchurch Street, Lombard Street and Gracious Street all in dust. I became afeard to stay there long, the fire being spread as far as I could see it. Then to the Exchange. And here, nothing standing. All the statues of our kings and queens are ash. And my feet ready to burn, walking through the town among the hot coals. Having not eaten since last Sunday night, I find a bakery open, and there I do buy a penny loaf.
That'll be tuppence.
But that's a penny loaf.
It's 2 pennies now.
So it's a 2-penny loaf.
If you like. Had to pay double for the flour, didn't I?
I pass through Cheapside and Newgate Market, all burned, and pick up in the street a piece of glass from Mercer's Chapel, which was melted and buckled with the heat of the fire, like parchment. I also did see a poor cat taken out of a hole in the chimney, with the hair all burned off its body.
Oh, there you go, my lovely. Safe now.
And yet alive. And so home late, and to Sir William's, who did give me a bed, but without curtains or hangings, all being down. So here I went the first time into a naked bed, only my drawers on, but still had a fear of the fire in my heart that I took little rest. The 6th of September. Up about 5 o'clock, and being in dirt from top to bottom, took a boat over to Southwark.
I saw two men breaking into a butt of sugar, taking handfuls to put in their beer, just helping themselves. What are you after, anyway?
I'm looking to buy gloves and a shirt.
Oh, you ain't gonna find anything like that today, sir. I helped move all the market goods yesterday, Mr. Peeps. King's setting up markets outside the city, they say. I don't know where.
Oh, you best take me back, then.
Right you are, Mr. Peeps. Have you seen a fire at Bishopsgate?
No.
Well, there was no fire there, and then suddenly it all blows up. And there is one.
Yes, everything is so hot, so everything is likely to combust.
No. There was no fire near Bishopsgate. It's them Dutch. Or them French, or both. Or them papists. Or French papists. It proves that they, Mr. Peeps, they started the fire. It just blowing up like that.
No, it does not. It was started in a bakery.
And people have armed themselves, ready to fight them.
Well, the soldiers should stop that.
They are our enemies, Mr. Peeps.
Yes, but that doesn't mean the fire was a plot. You can put me down over there.
Are you one, then?
One what?
A Catholic. Or something?
No. No, I am not.
From the river, there were no houses nor churches up to Temple. It was a very sad sight. Oil cellars continue to burn across the whole city. Clothes workers' hall on fire these 3 days and nights in one body of flame. Proclamation has come out for markets to be kept at Leadenhall and Mile End Green and several other places about the town, and all churches to be set open to receive poor people. The 7th of September. Up at 5 o'clock and by water to St. Paul's Wharf. The fire now much less, but Ludgate, Fleet Street, a good part of the temple, and my father's house all gone. Walked thence and saw all the town burned, and the miserable site of St. Paul's Church, with all the roof fallen, and St. Faith's, where the booksellers did put their books for protection against the fire. And there I did find Mr. Curtin, my bookseller.
Oh, Mr. Peeps, is all safe with you?
Yes, Mr. Curtin. And yourself?
Our books are all in the crypt. And we're praying that some of them are left, sir. We'll know when the flames are out, Mr. Peeps, but we're not hopeful. So many people placing their goods in churches for God's protection.
Were you here when St. Paul's burned?
All the booksellers were here, praying for our books. It exploded. The church, you know, Mr. Peeps, it exploded.
Exploded?
It was free for some time, while everything else around it burnt, and the ditch they dug, that cut off the fire, but then the wind carried it to the scaffolding on the roof, and there the fire caught. Then it got inside, sir, and I think the stone inside was so very hot, sir, so it cracks and shoots out like cannonballs. Mr. Dugdale almost lost an arm, shot straight past him.
And thence to the Swan, and there did drink. The militia in arms everywhere, and all men against each other. protecting their goods and the supposed threat of invasion. And people do all cry out for the simplicity of my Lord Mayor in this business of the fire, laying it all upon him. And so home to bed, but was much frightened and kept awake by some noise I heard below stairs. The 10th of September. All morning, clearing our cellars and tidying the house, it being very dirty from brimstone. Then, hear news that Sir William Ryder says the town is full of report of the wealth that is in his house of people's goods, and he does fear for its safety. This made me get a cart and go thither, and brought all my money away with me to the office. Blessed be God, I got all mine well thence, but vexed to have the whole world see it. So to Creed's lodging, near the New Exchange, there borrowed a shirt off him and washed. And then down to Woolwich to collect my gold and call upon my wife, who is out of humour.
It's ended then?
There are small fires across the city, so it reaches a sort of end. You don't have to help us load, Lizzie.
It's no trouble. And our home?
Untouched.
Oh, I think that's almost all of it in the boat now, Mr. Pepys.
Thank you for staying with my gold, Lizzie. Our gold.
Yes.
Yes.
Is the office untouched?
It is, Will.
I would have liked to have seen it.
What?
The fire.
You did see it?
Some of it. Did the Dutch come?
No.
The French?
No, of course not. You know they didn't.
Papists?
No!
Just asking, in case I missed out on anything else.
Are we going home?
Yes, yes, of course. Let me help you into the boat, Lizzie.
I can manage.
And so I do accompany my wife and Will home. The 11th of September. Up betimes and to my office, and then to the New Exchange with Sir John Minnes. A little business done, we return by coach. And in the evening, my wife and I do go to supper with Sir John. He in a mad, ridiculous, drunken humour.
So, 666, hmm? Mars Shipton's prophecy proves only too true. The end of the world, the end of the world is now. Hmm? What do you say, Mrs. Pepys?
Well, we're still here. Hmm.
What do you say, Samuel?
I agree with my wife, Sir John.
Oh, Will?
We are clearly still here, Sir John.
Oh, so you're all sticking together. I see.
Six, six, six is nigh. No, 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 now. It's now, isn't it? Hmm?
Have you been to the fields of Islington recently, Mrs. Pepys?
No. No, I have not.
No? Oh, the poor. They're all bemoaning their fates and their losses with nothing over their heads.
I believe the King has opened Tower Hill and all the churches as a refuge for the poor.
Yes, so I heard. And gave them navy biscuits too, didn't he?
I believe so.
And they did return them. The starving poor, returned them, as they are too dreadful to eat. So they can't be that hungry. Mrs. Shipton's prophecy proves true.
London is going about its business, restoring itself quickly, Sir John.
But the plots, Will. The plots. Catholics are behind the fire. This is only the beginning.
It was started by accident at the bakery in Pudding Lane.
Rome. Oh, 666. And our destruction. Be certain of that, Will.
Be certain. 666.
It was an accident.
666.
Everyone knows.
1666.
Shush, Will.
But
shush.
Are you going?
It is late, Sir John.
Yes, we really should be going, Sir John, and thank you.
Oh, must you?
We must.
Why'd you take me away? What Sir John's saying about the fire isn't true.
He's drunken and mad.
There's no point in arguing with a drunkard.
But he's wrong.
I just think he's been up for days worrying about the rest of us.
But it's a lie.
People need someone to blame, Will. That's how it is when people lose so much.
I've heard them blaming the King and the Duke when they were out all the night to the fire trying to stop it.
But it was an accident.
Yes, but it is dangerous to say so.
How is it dangerous?
Will, if you deny a plot openly, you will be accused of being part of the plot. That is what is already happening.
It's true, sir.
And it will only worsen for the time being. When we are fully recovered, then the truth will out once more.
The fire was an accident. It has nothing to do with Catholics and plotting. It makes me mad to hear how people are going on.
But that's the way things are, for now.
Right you are, Mr. Peeps. Right you are. You wanted some papers from the office, is that right, sir?
Thank you, Will.
I'll go over and get them.
Thank you.
Is it true that people are blaming the Catholics?
Yes, Lizzie.
I was brought up Catholic.
I know, Lizzie. I know. And it is strange to see how long this time did feel since Sunday, having been filled with actions and little sleep. I had forgot almost the day of the week. My letters finished, I to bed. The 8th of October, 1666. Up and shaved myself after a week's growth. But Lord, how ugly I was yesterday, and how fine today. Towards noon by water to Whitehall. The King yesterday in council did declare his resolution of setting a fashion after so much is lost, and to teach the nobility thrift. The fashion being a vest. My business finished, I home, and along the way did meet Mr. Curtin, my old bookseller.
Mr. Pepys, it is good to see you, sir. Are you well?
I am, Mr. Curtin. And you, sir?
Not so well, and sadly so, Mr. Pepys.
Ah.
The lead in the church roof melted in the heat and ran down into the crypt. My books were, as I feared, all destroyed and nothing left of them.
No books saved, Mr. Curtin?
None. I don't see how any of us can recover, Mr. Pepys. I don't see how. Nothing insured for safety. All of us are ruined.
This year is a terrible year with a terrible number. God's mark against us.
And a broken and sad man, Mr. Curtin, does appear to me now. And some books lost forever. The 15th of October, 1666. A very rainy morning. I up and to Whitehall, where did meet with Sir John Minnis.
Ah, finally.
The rain.
Yes, Samuel, the rain.
Let's hope it lasts.
Hmm?
A deluge from God. I saw small fires still burning on my way here.
It is the oil in the cellars, Sir John.
Hmm. And I am told that the cost to the city in lost rent for the houses burned is £600,000 per annum. 600,000.
Some say it's God's punishment on the court. Lady Castlemaine is with child again.
Lady Castlemaine?
Hmm?
And is it the King's?
Of course. Though the king is also said to dote on the pretty Miss Stuart.
And the queen?
Nothing, as ever. No sign of a child. Poor lady.
Good morning, Mr. Pepys. Sir John.
Morning. Have you been fitted for a vest?
Yes, sir. Yours is,
Yes, yes. Is it not pleasing? It is a very great fashion, I think. A good thing to be seen in after such a terrible tragedy. The frugal but well-designed vest of our king.
Yes, Sir John.
May I rotate? You may see it in all its splendour.
If you must, Sir John. The king's new fashion is like a long cassock, close to the body, of black cloth and pink with white silk under it, and a coat over it, and the legs ruffled with black ribbon, like a pigeon's leg. It is a very fine and handsome garment. The 10th of November, 1666. Up and to the office. Today I make an end of reading Francis Potter's discourse of the number 666. This year he did calculate as being the year of the beast.
Yes?
It is I, Mr. Pepys.
Come in.
It is today, is it not?
What is?
The fatal day in which the papists do massacre us all. There are soldiers about the city, sir. I've been stopped twice. Today could be the end of the world due to the papists. Well, so some say. Though how they could make that come about seems hard to me. Unless the end of the world be over vests.
Vests?
Yes. Have you not heard the news from the French court, sir?
No.
The French king has put all his servants into vests. Just like our king's vests. Well, may I be off early, sir?
Why?
So I may savour the last moments of the world with my poor mother.
No, you may not, Will.
What, with the vests and everything?
No.
But I...
No, I trust in God that we shall rise tomorrow, Will. All of us.
If you say so, Mr. Pepys.
No. No. Please.
Sam.
Get off me, get it off me.
Sam, you're dreaming.
Is it here?
You're dreaming.
Was I?
Yes. Dream.
Yes.
Was it the fire?
Yes.
I dream it too.
Do you?
I think most of London must do. So close and terrible. Dreams of falling down houses and brimstone. Dreams of the end of everything. Come on. Lie down again and sleep.
Yes, Lizzie. Yes.
The 31st of December, 1666. And thus ends this year of public wonder and mischief to this nation. Myself and my family well, though my eyes, with overworking them, are sore as soon as candlelight comes to them. Public matters are in a most sad condition. Our enemies, the French and Dutch, are great, and grow more by our poverty. The Parliament backward in raising money because jealous of the spending of it. A sad, vicious, negligent court. One thing I reckon remarkable in my own condition is that I am abound in good plate. Very greatly pleased with my new purchases of 2½ dozen silver dishes for entertaining of my guests.
Pepys, Fire of London, Samuel Pepys was played by Chris Marshall, Elizabeth Pepys by Catherine Jakeways, Will by John Biddle, King Charles II by Ewan Bailey, Jane by Rebecca Newman, Mayor Bloodworth by Matthew Gravel, Mr. Curtin by Alan Raglan, Mr. Howells by Dick Bradnam, Mr. Houblon by Richard Nichols, Mrs. Wood by Cyril Jenkins, and Mrs. Batelier by Ayrey Thomas. Pepys, Fire of London was dramatised by Hattie Naylor and was a BBC Cymru Wales production, directed by Kate McCall.